The National Trust for Historic Preservation has placed New York's Hudson River on its list of threatened areas. Many hope the declaration will boost efforts to block industrial development along the Hudson. Others say that without development, more than just the river will be threatened. Brian Mann of North Country Public Radio reports.
Since the late 1700s, the Hudson has been a working river. Factories here have used the water to manufacture everything from whale oil to dishwashers, sending their wares south on barges to New York City. Then 50 years ago, plants started closing as old industries died or moved overseas. Today, many of the towns that flank the river are startlingly poor. Storefronts are boarded up, and fine old Victorian houses sit empty. But now companies are returning to the area, drawn once again by the ready supply of water and cheap transportation. A half dozen new power plants are in planning stages. Factories are being renovated and reopened. For local leaders like Joe Izzo, supervisor in the town of Catskill, the change is long overdue.
People want a basis to have good government, good schools. That's not going to exist without having at least some industrial plants.
According to Izzo, Catskill School District will benefit from construction of a huge new power plant proposed by Pacific Gas and Electric. After years of stagnation, he says, almost any kind of growth is welcome.
We've been trying to site a Walmart here for a while. We look forward to having them there. And I think also the fact that one of the cement plants, Lehigh, is now starting to redevelop their plant here, I think bodes very well for the town.
Not everyone agrees. Some business owners fear that this kind of reindustrialization will actually hurt the region's growing tourism industry. Just across the river, the town of Hudson was once known for its shabby housing projects and drug dealers. Now, more than 100 shops on the bustling main street draw antique buyers from as far away as Boston and New York City. Ken Polinsky is co-owner of Kendon Antiques.
We've invested our lives, really, into renovating this building and to being part of the community.
The St. Lawrence Cement Company now wants to build a factory here. Limestone would be quarried from a mountain just behind the town. Enormous conveyor belts would carry the milled cement to a barge loading facility on the waterfront. Polinsky thinks the factory would ruin Hudson's charm. He worries about noise and pollution and says plans to expand his own shop are on hold.
When you invest so much in a community and you're really not sure of its direction or what impact health-wise and economically a big plant like this will have, you have a tendency to pull back.
In many ways, this debate echoes others around the country. Communities are struggling to balance jobs and industry against concerns about the environment and quality of life. But the Hudson River is also unique. In the 1800s, the landscape here inspired its own style of painting.
It was 1844, and Frederick Church, at the age of 18, had high ambitions to excel in art.
At the Olana State Historic Site, just a few miles up the road, tourists sit before a widescreen TV. They're learning about Frederick Church, a painter of what's come to be known as the Hudson School.
Cole took the young Church sketching through the Catskills and the Hudson River Valley. On one of their outings, Church drew the view from a high point near the city of Hudson.
The rugged scenery captured in his canvases is breathtaking, with the broad river and the Catskill Mountains rising on the far side. Since Church's day, three factories have been built, visible from the front lawn where he painted. The power plant proposed by Pacific Gas and Electric would add four new smokestacks to this historic view. Susan Falzone is head of a group called STOP that has organized to block the project.
This economic development is not economic development for our town. It's economic development for this corporation. This is a massive industrial facility in a rural residential area.
Opposition to the project was thrown into confusion last month when a leading pro-environment group called Scenic Hudson dropped its objections. Scenic Hudson has promised that it won't file legal action to block the facility. In exchange, Pacific Gas and Electric agreed to pay millions of dollars for landscaping that will help to conceal the power plant. Scenic Hudson director Ned Sullivan says the spread of heavy industry is only one threat to the valley's environment. Sprawl is another concern. And by way of example, he points to this stretch of state highway, which connects historic sites like the Vanderbilt Mansion and the Roosevelt Estate at Hyde Park. The road is lined with fast food restaurants and mini malls.
There have actually been two different proposals to build Walmarts here, right across from the home of the former president. Big box retail stores are beginning to dominate the entire landscape.
These concerns prompted the National Trust for Historic Preservation to include the entire valley on its list of endangered areas. Local government leaders and groups like the Business Council of New York criticized the designation. They point to the fact that job growth and tax levies have been flat here for a decade, while the rest of the country enjoyed booming prosperity. Philip Pepe is a spokesman for St. Lawrence Cement. He says the factory in Hudson would revitalize an industrial site that sat dormant and rusting for 20 years.
Yes, there is a strong artistic community who may be unfamiliar with or just not comfortable with industry or corporate projects. But generally, there is overwhelming support in the community.
The cement factory still faces regulatory hurdles before construction can begin, as does the power plant across the river. Both projects have the support of Republican Governor George Pataki, a native of the region who says heavy industry can coexist with the river's scenery. But with both sides mounting fierce PR campaigns, trading accusations and lawsuits, the towns along the Hudson River will likely remain bitterly divided for years to come. For NPR News, I'm Brian Mann in Hudson, New York.